7:37 and start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. Sarah, would you like to lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under
God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, before the roll call, I just have a question that was just brought to my attention before the meeting, is that the notice of this meeting says April 11th.
It's
today is April 13th.
April 13th.
So I don't.
Is this a regular meeting?
Yeah.
So if it's a regularly scheduled meeting, I mean, you have a somewhat defective notice, but at the same time, it's a regular meeting. I don't think it's a fatal error because, again, if it was a special meeting, I think 100% it would be a problem. Mm-hmm. But you have established a schedule of regular meetings that you meet regularly on this day, right? This Thursday, the second Thursday of each month. So I think because of that, although there's some confusion that could result, it was noticed for a day earlier. It's noticed for the 11th and not in.
Yeah, so I mean, previously, like,
and it was here. It is posted on it or stamped it on the 12th.
I mean, my thought would be that you're okay. It's certainly, you know, a confusing notice, but at the same time, a regular meeting, so you have a right to meet on their regular meeting date. I don't think the Scribner's error would lead to a fatal defect that would make this an invalid meeting, because it is a regular meeting on its proper date and time.
Okay, I don't. So it doesn't. So there are exceptions to it being posted properly.
There's a Scribner's error. There's an error in what the date is meant, but there is a posting of regular meeting dates so that someone, the board is allowed to set regular meeting dates, and that we are on the proper day for the regular meeting.
It's all about public notice, John.
So I mean, I will say, listen, at any time, anyone could challenge FOI through FOI, right? So is it possible someone can challenge and say, I was confused. I thought the meeting was going to be 2 days earlier. And because it didn't occur, I felt that it wasn't going to occur at all. It's, of course, anything's possible. So I will say, if we think there's a very real possibility that this has caused confusion to the extent that it's going to result in the public being confused, certainly we have the ability to schedule a special meeting, right, in a day or more and redo it. I don't think necessarily that a Scribner's error, simply a mistaken date in a regular meeting makes it a fatal error. If I had to defend that, right, I believe there's a basis to defend it because it's a regularly scheduled meeting that happens the second Thursday of every month. But I would leave it to the board's discretion, right? I'd have to say, as the legislators, ultimately you guys are responsible for the public. And if you really feel this has caused confusion where someone would think that your regular meeting date wasn't supposed to occur on its regular day and time, then I mean, it's the safer route.
Right. It's the 11th and it's posted on and it's checked in on the 12th. So I mean, it's up to you. Do you guys want to schedule a new one?
Like, I would like to hear all these presentations. I don't know if I feel comfortable voting on, you know, because there's been other meetings that have been improperly noticed where we had to move the date or listen to whatnot. Does anybody else have thoughts?
It's up to you, whatever the pleasure you guys want to do. If you want to postpone this to another.
I don't want any controversy about it.
No, I don't either.
I mean, you can have a special meeting Monday, even if it's just Zoom. But people are here for presentations.
Right.
I would like to listen to the presentation. I would like to listen to
all. You certainly can conduct this without taking action and reserve your action until a rescheduled meeting. As long as this comports with FOI in all other ways, and at this point it would be filing an agenda, I believe you'd be fine. Filing minutes after this meeting. So that may be your approach is don't.
It's probably a safer action.
You can
air the presentations out, go through the.
Exactly.
And then have a special meeting.
Yeah, deliberation.
Just you still file minutes from this meeting as it was a meeting, but you can delay your actual action, your actual votes to make decisions. I tell your special meeting.
Thanks.
And the meeting begins. So
and that we're just hearing a lot of these things the first time tonight, this probably will allow us to digest a bit of this information before.
Does that sound good? They'll have a Zoom meeting maybe Monday night on these things?
Yeah.
I think Monday would be good because student panel is on the agenda for planning and zoning for Tuesday. So
student panel is on. Well,
how's everybody's schedule for Monday?
Are you available for on Monday night if there's a Zoom meeting?
Sure.
Okay. And we'll, is Barbara, you on?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Would you be available Monday evening?
What's the date? Because I'm
17.
This is 17th. Yeah, I'm good.
6:30, sir, or what time do we need to go? Mark? Is there any other meetings?
Oh, yeah, this should be
very important. And thank you, Chris.
Oh, God, we have the team, yeah.
So, what time is the? Oh, that's at 6, so 7 will probably be.
Because we won't add anything else to you.
That should be quick.
We only have a few things to vote on. It would be a long meeting, but
should be quick.
So 7 o'clock.
All right, let's try. Are
you a sponsor?
Oh.
No, it's community.
Oh, community.
The guy from this side.
My father.
All right, so we'll set up a special meeting for April 17th at 7 p.m. You guys are in favor of that? You guys good with that? Sarah,
so,
good?
I think so. I will confirm, yeah.
Okay. So, Mark, we'll get that out. And then.
Is it okay if I do the agenda? Or
yeah. So, we get that. Put these things that are on this agenda. So, it's going to be Scoots and Paddle, Greenway Lighting. Fire marshal office reorganization. So we can't vote on the tax board or no tax refund generator.
We'll duplicate this agenda.
Yeah.
It'll be everything. It'll be the, it should be identical agenda, Mayor.
Yep. Okay. All right. So we'll do it, but with the right date. Okay. On the 17th. Yep. Okay. We missed it. So. All right. I just saw right now. All right. So we're going to pledge allegiance. We're going to do a roll call right now.
Ms. DiGennaro.
Here.
Mr. Battle.
Excuse.
Ms. Gazomski.
Here.
Mr. Capolo.
Here.
Mr. Giovanni.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Mr. Sampson.
Excused.
Mr. Sharkey.
Here.
Okay. Records to reflect there are 7 members present.
Okay. Additions, deletions, correction, and adoption of the agenda. The only thing I had was a 7.3, remove 7.3, presenter is away. Expect to be able to. So remove that. And I was going to add a 7.3, a public safety in the city of Derby, muffler, exhaust, noise, conversation, potential. Action on it.
Add that for Monday night.
Yeah, but we can still talk about it. We have people here that want to talk about it. So, and that's all I have. If you have anything else, then. Okay. I have a motion to accept those changes.
I don't think there's any motions.
Oh, that's right. So we're just going to add that. Okay.
So we're going to delete Ryan's up and add what's the?
It's going to be a public safety in the city of Derby, muffler, exhaust, noise. Mufflers on vehicles, potential ordinance and action, but it's just going to be discussion tonight.
You're going to have those names,
or... we could do that for we. Yeah, you know what? I can have him add that for Monday for Sterling Opera House committee names. So we'll add that to put it on there, and then Brian, do you want to be on that?
Yes.
Gino?
Yeah.
Okay. So those two right off the bat, Mark, Gino, and Brian, and then I'll give you the names for the other ones.
Okay.
for the committee.
All right. I have a question, so, Mayor. Before you go further, it's Barbara.
Yes.
Are you adding on that discussion of the muffler order talk discussion?
We're gonna add that for tonight, and then for discussion for you guys, and then I will have corporate counsel advise us on if we need more from above state statute.
Okay. So, Attorney Marini, we have to vote on the addition, so that doesn't seem possible to me.
Okay, so we can't add that.
I'm asking.
No, I want to be understood, Alderwoman DeGennaro. I think that my holding is this. Look, you have a Scribner's error. It's very clear on this agenda for tonight. It's Thursday, right? It says 11th instead of 13th, but everywhere else I'm seeing online has the correct date. I think this is really a very low concern. However, out of an abundance of caution, I agree. Why not be overly transparent and just make sure we're doing it right, with that special meeting. But in terms of tonight, besides the actual action items on approving anything, I would treat it like a normal meeting. We're gonna have minutes like a normal meeting. I think we would take normal motions like a normal meeting as a matter of procedure to make sure everything flows orderly. But I don't think there's any concern about that. But we're out of an abundance of caution, we're going to have that special meeting for any action items. That way, there's absolutely no doubt in the credibility of the actual action we take on something like the lease or pursuant to a grant. But a motion to let someone speak or something be added to our talk tonight, that's absolutely fine.
Okay.
And plus, we're all here right now. So this way, come Monday, we can kind of go right through it, hopefully. Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So additions and deletions. So we're going to add that. And number five, we'll do public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak?
Yes, this is Peg Lee from Gemini Software. I'd like to speak for 3 minutes.
Go ahead, Peggy.
Okay. Thank you. Attended an alderwoman meeting not that long ago. There was some talk about or on the agenda was actually switching to a new software vendor, QDS. After that meeting, we had put together a response based on some false information that was presented to the aldermen and alderwomen. And no action was taken that evening. Since then, our company has received a letter from an attorney that says we will not be renewing our contract. When we left the meeting, it was my thought that we wanted to try and do this the right way, and that we would be able to come forward and present a demo of our software. And I thought there were some recommendations of waiting for a permanent finance person, but I was a little bit thrown off in that we received a letter from the attorney that said our contract would end the end of June. And so I just, feel a little bit uncomfortable. It wasn't what we walked away thinking would happen. And so I just came tonight to express that. We've been with you many years. We've enjoyed working with the town. Unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of misinformation presented, and we had hoped to give a demo to show what we can do. And that's all I want to say. I'm not here to badmouth a vendor or anything like that. I just want to say that I'm a little disappointed on what we've seen take place since then. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Fred, you had your hand up.
Frederick Kraski, 216 Derby Avenue, Derby. Real quick, I've heard that the state is going to be redoing some Route 8. And I'd even like to see the Route 8 entrance from Seymour Ave to Route 8 North either closed or heavily modified. The last time the state was there, all they did was raise the bridges up. I thought that they were going to widen Route 8 through that little stretch going under. I believe it's Smith Street. I could be wrong.
The one next to the canyon?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the DOT is in the process of working on that.
Yeah, that's a disaster. Something needs to be done or it needs to be closed. I usually get on Route 8 at near the Home Depot, over 34, I take Route 8 north.
That's part of the plan that they're doing right now.
But I'm just saying, I get on there and as I pass by that Route 8 entrance from Seymour Ave, I've had to hit the brakes a number of times, swerve a number of times because people, just the way they come on, some people sit there and wait, some people just barge right in. And it's an accident waiting to happen. Secondly, the muffler noise. We're coming up on 10 years of the Boston Marathon shooting, but also that day there was a drive-by shooting at my neighbor's house next door. Anyway, what I'm referring to as far as these mufflers go, some of these new little Honda mufflers make a real loud noise sounding quite like a gunshot. And the other day, I was out front of my house and it really stressed me out because God only knows when one of these days, one of those noises will be a real gunshot. On Pleasant Street, Derby Avenue, glad the house is torn down. Thank you very much for getting it down. But can we make that intersection safer? A lot of times people will be traveling 115 north and they take the right onto Mount Pleasant Street. And a lot of them end up putting their cars in reverse to try to get back onto Mount Pleasant Street or something like that. So it's a very steep, very sharp turn that most vehicles cannot make. I've actually seen a box truck come off of Pleasant Street, taking the left, and it got stuck. I tried taking pictures, but the truck drivers came after me.
And Fred, really quick, a lot of these are great in their LTA issues, which LTA. I'm gonna direct you to go over to the police commission. And I think signage right there is gonna do good for Mount Pleasant Street. I understand what you're talking about. Okay, cool. I made that left turn once, I'll never do it again.
Cool. Okay, and then real quick, I've heard that two pieces of our fire equipment are down and are not going to be repaired. Great that if our taxes come down, but I do not want our insurance rates going up because of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Anybody else from the public?
Sure, I did.
Hey, so.
I just want to say that we have been customers of School of Cattle, very happy customers, for 3 years while we had them on the 34. It was fantastic to have waterway access. We lost it. When we did kind of take a launch. So it adds so much quality of life. Tears of front line and we worked together for a couple of years, trying to encourage her to stick with her, but she stuck with us. She's got a fantastic presentation and a wonderful lifestyle. That's everything. And I think Commodore Hall, if you could see us now, we'd be so proud of Commodore Hall. USS Constitution, I'm talking about 30s old Commodore Hall. That's it. Thank you,
Sue. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor, Kelly Curtis.
Hey, Kelly. Go for it.
Hey. Hi, Zeke. A couple things. I'm on a WPCA. I've been on the WPCA for probably the past 5 to 6 years. I don't even know anymore. It just blends together. But my concerns are we're down to two operating members plus the chairman. It's very hard to have a meeting. It's very hard to set the budget for next year when there's two of us. One has stepped down and the other one I think is on a leave of absence. I'd like you to see what you can do to fill this void. I mean, this month we're going to start working on our budget, and it's kind of tough to work on, with 2 to 3 people. I mean, everyone's got to make adjustments just to be able to have a monthly meeting. And also the infrastructure committee. I've been on that for quite a few years, quite a bit longer than the WPCA. We don't have a chairman. We had one member that has never shown up for a meeting. We had another meeting, another member that stepped down. So right now we're at 3 total, again, with this committee. It's my understanding that we cannot take action against any bond bills unless both committees can meet. Well, right now we're holding up bond bills probably as much as 3-4 months because we can't meet on a monthly basis. What I'm really asking, Zeke, please appoint people to these committees. It's getting old. It's carried on for quite a long time. And thirdly, I'm a little disappointed that the outcome of the regional, not regionalization, but the privatization of the sewer department has not met the Board of Aldermen. A week ago, something has been set forward, and I'm a little shocked that it's not before the full Board of Aldermen yet. Again, we're at a bad time. We're setting our budget now, and we need to know what the outcome is going to be. With that being said, good luck.
Thanks, Cal.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor, it's Barbara. Can I ask Mr. Curtis a question? I want to know what he was referring to with the privatization committee.
Go ahead, Cal, if you want to tell her.
If it's okay, Zeke.
Yes, go for it.
Barb, the privatization committee about Aquarian taking over. It is. I sat in on the meeting. It was my understanding that it is not going forward. And I'm a little shocked that it's not before the Board of Aldermen now, because again, within less than 2 months, we've got to have our budget set, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. As to, it hasn't gone to the board to make a decision. Are we going with Aquarian? Are we going to take the battle on by ourselves? I have my own personal opinions on it, but there was a decision made by a board or a committee that's worked 2 years on this, and I'm just surprised it hasn't come before the Board of Aldermen yet. I mean, the decision.
Why I asked.
Kelly, it's going on Monday.
We were getting we were getting an update from Jack Walsh as to the status of, you know, certain things from the privatization committee. We had to okay some bills that were needed to be paid, but if there was a meeting last, whenever you said it was, and there was a vote, it's news to me. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah, actually, I think it was last Wednesday because I sat in on the meeting. I spoke under the public portion of it, and they went into executive session and came out with a response.
All right, Kel, we're going to put that on Monday.
Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, Zeke.
You're welcome.
And please look into these committees. It's getting old, Zeke. It's really getting old. All right?
Yes, sir. Anybody else from the public?
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Any background information just sent to us on that privatization stuff before?
We'll get the minutes and everything. You can put that down. Anybody else? Sarah?
Sarah Hagen. I just wanted to express my support for this proposal. I think it would be a great addition to our downtown. I know that they were up the river and it'd be great to have them downtown. It'd be great for our families to have somewhere local to do their kayaking, their biking. And I love their proposal. So I hope this board supports it.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Okay, hearing done, we're going to move on. Special orders, none. Number 7, Scoot and Paddle. Christina Pritchard and Raj Solway, discussion on Scoots and Paddle. I'm looking forward to this.
Having said that, it's also got an issue of nuisance crime.
Thank you.
So, given that, and some of the other things that are going on, if you just perhaps share the Route 34 road widening, as you can all see, is ahead of plan, partly because we didn't have any winter, which is great. And as part of the transformation we're trying to do together, we started conversations with a number of developers, actually 11 we've contacted, about the perspective for a proposal or a bunch of proposals for the Main Street South development. One of the things that comes through strongly, in addition to the scrapyard relocation, is creating a destination. And creating a destination really is all about investing to attract residents and visitors and emphasize the fact that we have this river location and a greenway. So that kind of is the background to these two presentations on the green. Tina's going to introduce what she's been doing for 10 years. And then we'll talk about what we'd like to try to do together here in the city.
Thanks. Hi, thank you for having me. I'm Tina Pritchard, and I have Scoot and Paddle in Milford, Connecticut. For the past 10 years, it's my 11th year. And we rent kayaks, paddle boards, scooters, bikes, and we do a lot of group events. So group sunset paddles, yoga on the paddle board, paddle and yoga events. So we'll do yoga on grass and then paddle and then go and have drinks and dinner with the local businesses. So we like to collaborate a lot with different businesses in the area, which is nice because you guys have pretty good businesses. We've got Bad Sons, which has a nice fire outside at night. We go and hang out there. Roseland Pizza and the Wings, the Dudra. Mm-hmm. They have really good wings. But we've been to all those places after our paddles in the past. And sorry, you're over there. it's just been really great. Our target audience is basically everyone, because the boats are very safe. They're sit on top, they can't sink. They're very easy to get into and out of. So unfortunately, a lot of people are scared of Long Island Sound. They're scared of sharks that they perceive might be in there. So the river is a nice alternative to get people back out on the water, people that haven't done it in a while or people that have never done it. It's calmer, it's more predictable. And it's just really, and we had a great time at the lake, nice and calm there. People really loved it. It would be great for Derby residents to come down, explore the riverway, the bike trails. But also my regular clientele, I have many, many customers that I'll be marketing to regularly. And they were coming to Derby in the past, and they've been in demand to come back. They've been asking me to bring it back. So they'll definitely be here. I'll be bringing in a lot. My largest audience is 25 to 34 year olds. So they're young, they're vibrant, they eat, they shop, they do all the things you want them to do. So when they come to kayak and they come to paddleboard, but they will stay, shop, go to restaurants. So it'll help not just my business, but the community. Benefits to Derby is just the influx of visitors, and so having a destination business, people will want to come here, they'll want to move here, not right away, but it'll help for sure. You know, like it happened in Milford, people would come, people would say, what a lovely area. We grew Walnut Beach area. It was very underdeveloped when I moved to the area. So it was an ice cream shop, then myself, and a little lobster shop, and it's grown. It's huge now. People love it, talk about it all the time. The city uses it as a tourism draw when they talk about it. They put it in all their pamphlets. It's on Visit CT, it's on New Haven, you know, Visit New Haven, all the different sites. So it's definitely a draw to Connecticut, but Milford, and hopefully Derby. The location would be Hog Island, which is right at the confluence of two rivers, which Roger threw. So it's nice. You can explore two different rivers. There is small areas that aren't even, they're just kind of inlets that people can, hang out at if they're not too safe going up or down the river. But you can take as long as you want to explore both rivers. There's lots of bird life. I used to paddle there myself at the public launch before it was prohibited. So lots of nice bird life and fish, and that's another draw for a different crowd of people that we don't really get in Milford is the bird watchers. They really like things like that. I don't know if you guys have any questions about.
Mayor, it's Barbara. I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Sure.
At this point, anyway. What hours of the day would your operation is it proposed?
The hours are probably going to be 9 to 6 every single day, 7 days a week. We also do some group events, so they might run a little bit later, like sunset.
Okay, and I did see that you, it's not just kayaks and paddle boards, but it's bikes and electric scooters. And where do you think the electric scooters are going to be able to be ridden?
At this point, I don't know if electric scooters are allowed on the greenway, so that might not be part
they're of it. They're not. Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah, they're not. So
mopeds, they're literally like the stand-up scooters, and they go about 10 to 12 miles an hour. But as of right now, I don't know the rules on that. So.
Yeah, they're well, that would have to be cleared up. And I have, you know, at this point, I have some other issues, but I won't bring them up since it's a presentation. But I have a question for Attorney Marini. Does the city of Derby own Hog Island?
This is an excellent question and one that I have been working on for, you know, leading up to this meeting. I want to get to that after the presentation because it will certainly factor into what action we can take.
Okay.
Ms. Deitch, why wouldn't we own it? Was there something that came up before in the past?
Or? Nobody owns it right
now. So, yeah, sorry?
Nobody owns it.
Oh. Let me jump ahead. It looks like Hog Island is at best state owned. So it's going to come up with basically a spoiler here is my recommendation is going to be to go with the use isolated to O'Sullivan's Island right now until we could get permission from the state. Looks like we're going to have to go through DOT and even rails to get permission to be able to license a business to operate. We clearly can't license or lease property that we don't own for clear reasons, but it wouldn't stop the project, which is a really exciting project from going forward short term, if it's possible to go to what I think was one of the initial concepts, which is isolated to O'Sullivan's Island. It's very possible that as we pick up permission to use Hog Island, that we could change the agreement over even the course of this summer, if not, you know, the next season. But yes, Hog Island, the ownership, that is exactly the issue. And I would say that right now we have to leave Hog Island out of the mix for now.
Okay.
It's like Commerce Street. Remember, Anthony bought that property. Or was, yeah. And nobody owned it.
Right.
Maybe the Indians still own it.
And I was
Ron. I might have to get the Bagats.
And I would even say, you know, we could wait until we get permission to do Hog Island, but then you have the, you know, you run the risk of losing the whole summer. If it can be done on O'Sullivan's Island, why not start with that? It would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
So what about the months of operation?
So my peak season is generally Memorial Day to Labor Day. Weather permitting, I think it's been May 1st through Columbus Day in the past. It's the extended date.
Now, can you operate without the Hog Island?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And do everything you want to do within the Sultan's Island?
Yes.
Okay. One of the events is Hog Island. It's slightly higher elevation, but this is a little less exposure.
Because I do have a storage unit that I would keep the boats in to keep them safe from any sort of vandalism. And O'Sullivan Island, maybe. It's a little bit lower.
As long as you can operate, just wanted to make sure that it wasn't paramount that you had the property on the on no. Hog. Okay.
Any other questions?
How much? I'm sorry, I didn't get to go through this yet. Like, how much equipment is kept there? What's the?
So there would be a storage unit
mm-hmm.
for the boats. And then a storage unit for the bikes, and everything would be put away in them every night. So
and
just
how,
be 2 units.
And so how large generally are those?
I think the units are 8 feet wide by about 20 feet long.
How many
boats? How many sort of conics boxes? Yeah,
20 foot. Yeah, 20 by 8.
How many boats, bikes are you gonna bring down? You know, there's like 10 of each, 20 of each.
It really depends on. I can bring. You know, 12 of each. paddle boards, kayaks, bikes, and I can bring more as needed.
Okay.
There's different types. Now I have double kayaks, single kayaks, paddle boards, different things. So we'll have to see what's being utilized.
And then, you have to put five of them down to take care of the crowd.
They stack. So.
Yeah.
John, do you have a packet for me? This 71C, you see it? This is considered Sullivan's Island right here?
That's O'Sullivan's Island, and the peninsula above it would be considered Hog right. Island.
So this is the piece that they're talking about, right?
That's not.
Okay. So that's the original spot. That...
The original?
Gotcha.
Do you have the original plan?
Oh. So remember, we walked out there? So this is also the top right here.
Right. So right here, there's a nice little area that could possibly be. Yeah, it's launchable. It's not as nice and graded as the Hog Island.
Any other questions?
So I drafted a lease. When I drafted it, I included both O'Sullivan's Island and Hog Island. I then went to collect, you know, the legal schedules to attach. And that's when, of course, it became apparent that that wasn't exactly recorded in our favor in the clerk's office. So I'd say at this point, and it's kind of nice to have the luxury of a follow-up meeting. You could express your thoughts on that license agreement. I tried to really put in there all the nuts and bolts from liability protection to being very specific as in terms of what the use would be. But certainly, you know, any comments, thoughts, suggestions, we can incorporate into the proposal going into our next meeting. So we have a good period of time to clean things up to your liking.
From an environmental, like brownfields perspective, is there any, you know, I don't know what the rules and regulations when that is capped off. Are we good?
So we're not touching the soil at all. There's no intrusive activities whatsoever, right? We're not putting anything into the ground, pillars, posts. So it's all temporary containers, I think, is like the largest of the structures. But these wouldn't permeate the surface in any way.
They should not.
No.
So then we're okay. We're not doing anything invasive.
There was a PCB issue right after cleanup, and it was an issue where even foot traffic was a concern. That was years ago. I was just wondering, with your experience and your expertise, if there's a check we can get a clear from, whether it's the DEP or...
We can reach out to our LEP, licensed environmental professional, who's working with the city on other projects in the downtown area. And that's probably the easiest way, quickest way. We can get a bill of health to make sure that what we're doing is all safe for the residents. Safety is important.
Yeah, check the box.
Yep.
Okay.
John, we went through planning and zoning with the vision repair. I believe that there was a report that there was actually built there. But there's probably something out there that was actually signed off on. So.
Perfect. And they probably would want to see that use is, they take a look at the use because, erecting a whole new dock or apparatus there may very well be something that would have to have some oversight. Yeah. This is not that, but put it in front of their eyes anyway. That way we can say we did our due diligence. We could have that for our next meeting.
And so this will be revised for us for...
So I'm going to take out Hog's Island first, and then any additions or comments you'd have for me to take a look at. Okay. Certainly, it's something we could continue to work on until it's proof.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
7.2, Greenway Lighting and Security Presentation. Marcio. Sorry, I don't have my glasses. Penn Globe, and then Roger. Do you want to come up here a little bit so they can?
Yeah, North Cranford. They're this oldest outdoor lighting company. We're America's oldest outdoor lighting company. We've been in North Cranford since 1995, and we're a national company, but we've got a strong focus on taking care of people here in Connecticut. We'd like to brag a little bit. We're Disneyland, we're Main Street, we're the Yukon's lighting standard. you know, there's probably a major city on the East Coast where we're not present, even if we're a little teeny company. So we're really proud of that. And so Roger, you guys meet him. We came down to North Brantford, and so he brought us up here to talk to you. He's been working and looking at this, given the circumstances and our role in history. So this is cool. David Feinberg, director of Smart Lighting. I don't know the history. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's been suggestions or things to do, what you want to do with your greenway, but we were presented with, could we do something energy efficient? Could it be state of the art? Could it be solar? Could we not disrupt the land? Could we keep it aesthetic? Could we make it into a community space? What can we do with it? So it's a blank slate for us. So this is not what you want to do, but what we have proposed and company we are, I know this is in our wheelhouse because of this expansion of all the things that we do. So it was a brief presentation where we put together some photographs that we took up here. So we'll leave that you have this. I believe my wife already sent this to you. I'm coming. Excuse my back. Roger's already sent this up to you. But we have a 99% return rate on our customers for, I don't know how many years, 35 years. They stick with us, we stick with them. Change, we go with the tide. Things started with metal halide, high pressure sodium lights. We converted them into LED lights. In fact, we actually did up here at the top of the hill, where that park is, we did that some years ago. Right as you were coming in,
yeah,
right now. Okay, this is in advance. So anyway, that is us. That happens to actually be the Guildford Green, for what it is. So, go, Dave. This is the space that we find ourselves in being a small manufacturer. And this is really important. We're making the stuff in Connecticut. This sounds really general. We're making the product in Connecticut, okay, with Connecticut manufacturers. And this is really key to what we're doing. What we're doing is creating this whole new venue of placemaking, which is economic factors, community, diversity, all kinds of things to bring people in with the idea that particularly that light posts are real estate and it shouldn't just like, it should do more than that, right? Because it can. They can have cameras, they can have flower pots, they can have wayfinding signage. They can have GFIs at the bottom of the poles for future vendors who might, you know, if you decide you want to go in that direction, the green community events right there. And we take the time to work with people to find out what could happen, what's planned for it now, right? And this is a lot cheaper to do this kind of stuff before something's installed, right? So we do it thoughtfully and we know the right questions to ask. And we always take care of asking the people who have to take care of the product long after the architects and engineers and everybody else tells us what we should buy. Let's talk about people actually have to take care of it for the next 30, 40 years, right? Okay. So with this, So you've already started doing these kinds of things to be what Tina, what Tina's proposing. It's right, it's a nugget of all of that, right? To have a reason to bring people together. okay, there you go. After the sun goes down. And that's where it leads here, because the lights have to function. Roger is the chief proponent of solar in the state, I think. And he's right, he's absolutely spot on. There's all kinds of different designs. By the time you would have been doing this, we have another sun. You all like one. But the important thing to know is, from a maintenance point of view, the solar is 100% available, and I strongly support what he's trying to do. So the challenge was, as Eduardo and David kept walking up and down the greenway, the three trips that they've been here, how do you do this with your existing fence? How do you do it without disrupting the land and, you know, an Army Corps of Engineers and everything we've heard? So one of the things that we have come up with, and don't necessarily look at this thing, but we can never have to disrupt the soil or what it actually is. We can go in ground. This is exactly the height right there, about that larger from the, yeah. Okay, there would be 2 feet of that smaller pipe and it would drop in where the existing ones are. And then the height above it would be exactly the same. Those holes would accept those wooden rails. Now I realized you may replace those wooden rails we were just talking. But if we get the color right, and we don't disrupt the land, that will go up to whatever height you decide you need to do for the poles. And we would work to make sure that aesthetically it blended, if you will, with what is out there. It's economical, it's not disruptive. And then we can give it character by introducing color into the light fixtures, whatever that might be. I strongly recommend color. I'm going to show you a video after this. Okay, Dave. I'm going to take up too much time. If I'm good, let me know when you want me to stop. Okay, so these fixtures and poles also, this is just really stripped down. You see there's no signage, there's no ladder rest, there's no security cameras, but that is key to what is here. We would be able to work with your city engineers and find out where the optimal spaces are and make sure they're very site specific. You don't want this to look unwelcoming. I have cameras all over the place, you know, but you want enough to get the job done where they are. We would outfit the poles that if the decision was, we got it wrong, you know what I'm saying? And then we had a couple more, they would be ready to accept them. Okay, that would be key. We do that. You can check us out with Waterbury. We do this for them all the time, you know, so that they can change and move things around. What's going to have a camera? What's going to have Wi-Fi? There's so many things that we can do that are inexpensive. I mean, we're talking graphics and metal, but just like we gave Waterbury one universal mounting plate so that it doesn't matter. It's pre-drilled with holes, so, and it looks attractive. You're going to put the camera on there, it looks great. You're going to put the Wi-Fi there, it looks great. And I really think, even though, and I joke around and say this, we're a nap in the lighting industry, I think this is what makes us different than the big boys that are, you know, selling the lights to the utility companies and that kind of thing, you know, and have it made in China. So keep on going, Dave. That's it. I want to show you the next one. One of the things we're really finding, I have two more things to talk to you about, and then I'll take your questions. This introduction of color, which costs nothing, is a game changer. It's a real game changer, not to just have black poles wherever it is that you are. And if you're doing finishes that are not going to need to be touched for 10, 15 years, right? You can actually make it warm and welcoming. We call it the color shift. It's not even a product. It's just a way to think about what's doing. And if you just see, if you can just play this 3D, it can really be a game changer. For all kinds of environments, really essential. Anyway, there would be time. We can't show it tonight. Don't worry about it. But you know, there will be time to give you guys some thoughts. One other thing: we always sample. Don't let anybody buy anything that doesn't get sampled and stay out for a bunch of things. I don't know if you can see that, but why can't it be blue? And look what a difference that can do to a lot to a community. We're finding reds, yellows. You can see these small little details that can make a big difference, but they don't cost anything. So, I mean, if you really just open your mind up to all of this. So you get the nice aesthetic, you get to bring the communities downtown, you get to go into the placemaking world. And we would like to tell you too, we're gonna give you a flyer, a test market, this placemaking space. We're doing picnic tables where we're putting on lights, phone chargers, they look like flowers, they look like butterflies, they look like bees, they're ADA, they bring out disadvantaged people or our handicapped people, they're in a place to come and congregate. We did a test for New Jersey Municipal Show in just November, just to see what happened. Off the charts, and people like gravitating to it. And you can see it, and it gets little things in the table. Anyway, we're here. We can give you, I'm pretty sure, whatever it is that you want. And we would be happy, we're right down the road, you know, work with you all to figure it all out. So I got Roger.
Questions? It's an isolated area though. And they have a lot of baggers or down there constantly spraying the air, covering up for spray paint, vandalism, and stuff like that. How is your product?
I think Gary.
It just survived the ball here. These are all aluminum construction. It's not double wall, and they're powdered. So they're resistant, they stand up, and color fade. The other thing that I like about this product that our person uses, if you do get a spray paint, I'm just 20% excited. For those of you familiar with powder coat, there are different textured finishes to powder coat. The smoother and tighter the grain is on that powder coat, the easier it is to because it's not going to penetrate. Even with some pretty harsh type of punches.
So, if I may, we don't powder coat that down the group.
That's right.
Right? So we do it with someone else. This is the right thing we can do.
We have factory space if you need some more.
Ask that question in the episode. You know what I mean? I can say, what do we do? Is there something that's even more resistant and wipes down that much easier? And I'm happy to get back to all that. Are you all there, Brian?
Just sad to people.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we turn that into the art of the place. I don't know. Yeah, I know. So anyway, there's a lot of options. And if you start thinking about it more than the normal things that you see, you can really see for a little bit of money.
Yeah, so how long with the, so each one of them has a solar cap or something to...
The whole top panel, like the one that we were showing in your presentation,
yeah.
The whole thing is solar.
So if
you can't see it, people can't see it, it looks attractive, it's got that really nice metal housing to make it look not old fashioned, but at least attractive.
How's the light function?
So how long will the light last
for? Right now there's, say, at least 5 years. At least 5 years.
Easy to replace mm-hmm. the solar panel on there if you need it.
Are they guaranteed for 20 years?
Nothing LEDs guaranteed for 20 years. I'm sorry to tell you. We had a really fun time with LEDs came in the market. And people wanted a 10-year warranty. LEDs were warranted for 10 years, and the drivers were always nationwide for 5 years. What do they do with that?
Right.
Right? But it's evolving. And you won't be doing this tomorrow. You know what I mean? It'll be time. So as Roger is proposing, and I'm a political animal, I just want to say, we're starting a nonprofit down in Haven. Manufacturing nonprofit, but very, very deep in the manufacturing space in the state. So it's also full disclosure, Workforce Committee for Manufacturers, CT Board for Workforce Alliance. They say those things not to brag because we're committed to it, all of that. There's a lot of work. Try and keep in the state. You have a training center. There's things that we can do together. But the big thing is this community challenge grant. It's so key for what it is you're trying to do. I mean, you're what they're looking for, right? Your town, your demographics, your economy, and this wonderful green light as the center and the focal point to add a bunch of other amazing opportunities to. I mean, I think you're the tip of the iceberg, right? So
you sell us the product, right? And then we have an installer because you don't have it.
Yeah, you would work with Roger and that because we've got a good, solid, reputable network of people that we would work with.
Okay, so you have somebody that.
Yeah. And I will also say to you, I don't know how this factors in, we haven't talked about this, but you must have a purchasing co-op. And if you don't, we can hook you up with a purchasing co-op so you know exactly what you want and not have to put the services that you want and you trust out for bid. It's perfectly done here in Connecticut. It's done in New Jersey, and we can hook you up with who those people are. And you might find that's a really good thing to use in a lot of other places. Just saying.
So you mentioned there is a thing called the Connecticut Community Challenge Grant, right? And it is a sort of once a year opportunity, and we're already putting the grant application together for the repair of the bridge that's going on the Greenway that goes over the railway. And the estimate for that is of the order of $450,000. Okay. So what we're proposing to do with your support is to bundle into that application the lighting, the installation, and putting in the fencing and replacing the wood fencing, which is falling apart in many places anyway. So putting in a new fencing system that would kind of last for as long as all of us are going to be around. So the bad news is that the deadline for the community's grant is the 3rd of May. So we've already done a lot of work. And one of the constraints is the minimum you can actually go for is $1 million. Maximum is 10 million. So we need to sort of bundle things together to reach that million. The 450 for the bridge, the lighting, the wiring, the fencing. We think we can do that, but it does require us to be in a position to be able to match the 25% required by the community's grant.
You guys have a decision, and most of the people in the state have to match 50%.
Right. I can't hear. I haven't heard the last half of it.
If I may, the other is that this is the third round, as Roger said. Nobody knows how many rounds they're going to do. So you don't want to wait. You know, I mean, you can always pull your application and you may not get it, but coming from a person who knows how these things are working, it's like you should file something. You know what I mean? And then I've already talked to your grant writer and help.
So that's kind of where we are. There's other things that we talked to the Army Corps of Engineers. They like this solution because it's basically taken out the wooden post that's coming out. The hole that's left, that goes in and it's got a concrete base. So we're not disrupting or excavating anything. So they're okay with that. But they are concerned that we remove the brush and the growth that's actually on the riverside. And that's going to cost money. So we bundle that into the same grant application. Yeah, but it's still there.
Can I ask a question, two questions? I'm not sure that the information was given already. It's Barbara, because I haven't heard half of what the woman said. And I don't know who was asking her questions. No voice, that voice wasn't familiar to me, somebody on the board. But and I'm gonna ask you, Roger, do you have an idea of what this proposed project costs
right now, Marcia,
presenting is, on
we've put the idea in at this point. We've put in 250,000, which would be basically the match that we would require anyway. So if we didn't get the grant, we would probably look for that 250,000 to come from our over $2 million of ARPA funds that are not yet committed.
Well, I'm sure there's other vendors that do the same thing that they do. We have a bid process. We have according to our charter. I mean, you know, it appears you have a relationship with this company because you both worked in North Brantford. But you know, I'm a little, you know, skeptical. Again, I'm not going to get it. It was a presentation, but you know, I'm sure there's other vendors that do the same thing. Sure. This isn't a new idea of what we've tried to do with the Riverwalk and the Greenway. So I'm just a little skeptical at this point without having, you know, full, you know, transparency and, you know, doing it the right way that we're supposed to be doing it. So that was why I asked you what the price was.
You know, this is really an information presentation, Barbara. And just to get some order of magnitude in order to be able to apply for this community's challenge grant. We have not gone out to bid at all. But we want to put it in the challenge grant application, which is due in a couple of weeks.
If I may, ma'am, this is Marcia, if you can hear me. You can use our number for the 250 for this grant application that you don't want to miss, whether you work with us or not. It's a reasonable number to submit this all-important, time-sensitive, you know, application. So
they're all time-sensitive. Unfortunately, the way they come to this board, you're not aware of that, but everything becomes time-sensitive.
Well, the grant is $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Right. Minimum. So
yes.
25% of $1 million is 250.
Right.
So 250 is the 25% match. For the minimum grant. So
now my question would be, obviously this is solar, correct?
Yes.
But would we have to run power if we
don't? That's the attraction. I mean, until now, there hasn't been the technology. because initially we started this by going back to the Army Corps of Engineers. No trenching. Now, trenching currently, you probably know better than I do, cable for underground trenching is $16 a foot.
I know, it's expensive, yeah.
Okay? So if you take the 2 miles, you can figure out the number is huge. So we tried to find a technology that did not require using power from the grid. Okay.
So you're saying that if we were to put cameras?
They would be all Wi-Fi cameras powered by the solar.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, there are cameras that will be able to have connectivity and utilize a battery type of a system through solar. It then has to enter a network, obviously, which I think addresses a little bit of where you're going.
Yeah.
Which, yes, you would need an actual powered unit, which we've identified like underneath the bridge near Hogs Island, where you do have power available, things of that sort, that would not require trenching, where you can now begin to take all of this data collection, which it uses a mesh network to be able to communicate to each other, then get it into that router and now to wherever you choose that it be networked to. Someone's got to see it, right? So that is really about the only power need that is required here.
Like you said, we can strategically put that in place where we're not going to have to run a significant amount of lines. You could just connect it.
Correct. There's no right, exactly. There's no trenching. It's working off of standard sub panels and existing poles that you have currently. Okay. It's just a matter of being able to create that access point.
Now, can we bundle that into
yes?
This is under the railroad bridge. So the wood fence is going all the way up down the side of the levee. We have the bridge that needs repairing over the railroad there. But down here, under the, you know, we're going down here to the parking area on Sullivan's Island, there are power poles. So the thinking is, because this is an area where there's been some nuisance crime, we would have regular lighting out from the grid. So these would be solar lights. These would be solar lights. These would be sort of floodlights.
Then you would be able to put every so often, like a Wi-Fi booster to
hook, right.
So everything will loop on top of itself, yes. That you get to an edge line.
Right, but there will be no trenching or cables. Yeah.
And that's
your
which we have to do.
Right, or we're going to shut this thing down.
Are we getting split rail fence that we currently have? Are we going with that same style?
So we all would.
Right, exactly. I see this. Okay.
So
those posts would just replace. Not every post.
One extra head.
I think it's one of the
sure.
What's the illumination of this? Like upright?
Well, we'll be on the outside right now. My office, we have 60 watts. We have to put it over it too, right? All the temperature. You know, we want it to be gas station.
Right.
So we have to find it. But those are the things we work on together. But I think, yes, at least 100. It seems to me to be a lot. I think we'd be in the 60-watt range.
Can I dim as the years go by?
I don't know yet about solar. Let's check that. I'll get back to you.
Well, it's like if you don't mind, like you walk by it, it'll be at 30% or whatever it is. You walk out, then it'll go down. It's more than 30%. That's how we're getting the dust to go on the time period, exactly.
Yeah.
If it was just on that entire time, you wouldn't be able to manage that.
Right.
The other thing that's nice is that with technological advances that Rod has been talking about, the charge time on these during the day is typically in the 4 to 6 hour range, and they're ready to go for the following year. So there is some programming to a degree, like Mark said, that we'll work out with in regard to do we want it down to 30%? How long do we want it to stay on once that PIR sensor has been triggered? But all of those customizable aspects, we work through to whatever your voice of customer is looking for.
And you know, justice on this, like, y'all not letting people, you know, we're going to be able to do this it's help, whether it's from us or someone else, to be able to know it's going to work or walk away from. You know what I mean? It's, know it's going to do what we want it to do.
That maintenance is not our
song. Well, anyway, we have also they didn't hold a lot of contract. They never put in their union contract that they've been responsible for the streetlights. I mean, you'd be amazed. I don't think any more time. We're down the road. We're going to talk sometime. Let's now come up halfway.
Question for you, though. Yes, the lights on this picnic table, do you do the entire table or just the lights? So if we need to get some light up, we throw a couple of those on. How about bike racks?
Oh, bike racks. I mean, the things that people are going to do, but this one was ours. Really, really ours. Yes, bike racks for sure. That would complement it. It doesn't have to be one guy said he can do fish. Thank you for your time.
Roger, what I'm hearing is that this grant application needs to be in by the 3rd of May. So I think what would be helpful for this board is to have a breakdown of what you are looking to include on this grant.
Right.
And, you know, a general price, you know, that we know the bridge is 400. And then we think the lighting is going to be this. We're looking for to get to the million or whatever it is. And if you can send that to the board, the breakdown, the mayor, Roger, can send it to us directly. Great. That would be very helpful for, you know, so we can take a look at it for Monday.
Thank you.
So they're trying to get to them.
Right.
You are already pulled the bridge.
Right.
Right.
So we have that, you know,
the 25% match for $1 million, right? It's like either 250.
Yeah.
I got enough to make seat.
Right. So I'm just asking to know what our decision making.
All right. So Roger, you'll get that out tomorrow to them. Or Friday or Saturday. Well, I know that.
And that obviously could be irrespective of vendor, but now we have a very good idea at what, you know, what could be done. So blocking it off in terms of.
Not for nothing. You know, you can try to find the turns to like a destination kind of thing with the result of the first lane. You're going to always go into the CIF, but you'll turn it into a destination. And you've got their 85 women suspended. You know, there's 3 more rounds. Okay. So you've got choices.
Can I just mention this CIF?
Yes.
We applied for 9.1 million for the parking garage. And there were 190 different applications for funding within the state. Initially, we were told it was going to be about 175 million. It was not that, it was under 100 million. So only 28 of the 190 applicants got some. If you figure it was like just over 90 million available, and we applied for 9 of them, you know, it was just too much. So what we're doing with our grant administrator and what we work with, we're revising the budget because we've already done the lighting in the parking garage. And we've already done the security system in the parking garage. That takes about 200,000 out of it. We've gone back to the contractors who put in contingencies on their original estimate, and we've cut them in half because they have done the design now. So there's less uncertainty. This is Capasso and the electrical work. So we're going to resubmit the SIF grant three, which is in the beginning of June. It's opening up May 1st, but the deadline is June. So we're going to go back, and I'm not sure if I should be saying this now, but one of the reasons we didn't get it is our match was only 5% of what we were asking to be funded. We were told if we could increase that a little bit,
that would increase the points we would get. So we're looking at maybe increasing the match to 10%, but by reducing the total, it would probably require us to change the approval for a 500,000, which was approved here by the board, to 750. 750 is on 10%, so it gets us essentially closer. And it means there'll be less to ask for from the state. So we, but that's, yeah.
Roger, how much was the original amount?
The original amount was 9.65.
The state had
175 is what we were told.
What was it?
There were 2,175, and it was actually 98.5.
Okay, so 175 to 98%.
Right, and only 28 of the applications were approved out of 190.
This grant application is due May 3rd.
For the 250 for this project is May 3rd. For the SIF grant for the resubmission for the parking garage is at the end of June.
But
what is the deadline
for
this?
This is a deadline. When do you anticipate making a decision?
In July for this.
July. And then how quickly would you get that turned around should you be done?
Before it gets dark.
I've got some of this myself in the nonprofit that we're working on. So, we were awarded SIF money. It's one of them, like SIF money for round one. I got notification on the birthday on September 28th, so I know that. And then we got the okay to proceed and start spending money late November. And that was for application one in July. That's not bad for the state. I mean, it could be like July, September. And not bad at all.
Yeah, one of the good things about the Communities Challenge Grant, which is the one we're doing here, is that 50% of the money has to be allocated to distressed communities. There's 25 distressed communities out of 169 municipalities. So we're one of those. And we're fairly close to the top. So, you know, they gain scoring points.
If I may again, and the SIF money, the Community Challenge money, the first one, the one that right now, we will talk about now, it's for everybody in the state, like every municipality. The CIF money, only certain towns, is like, what, 30 towns?
And yeah.
They can even apply for it.
Right.
We're one of them.
Is the 250, is that including, are we thinking about cameras on the green line for the lighting?
You know, it's a kind of a figure to get in the ground at this point. We haven't gone out to get a bid for anything. But it's, you know, the advice we've been getting from the Marsh's company.
Yeah,
if I understood your question correctly, when you had asked, like, if we were the ones, like, were you talking about how quick to production?
Correct.
We're typically in the 8 to 10 week range.
Okay.
Where we would be delivering product. We can also set that up in stages too, based upon how the installer is progressing as they move forward. So we can certainly deliver in schedule also.
Your projects are unique because you're not taking something down and putting something up. So if we can get the pole work done, then follow up with light fixtures, since poles have to actually be reconfigured with the rails. Anyway, that's detail. You don't want to stick around with us.
How long does that construction anticipate, approximately, something of this magnitude?
To do it?
Do the rails then?
Yeah.
And again, you know, a lot of those poles are low rises. I think that the contractor is going to be, you know, that we all are working with or looking for some input and advice. There's some variables there. How hard is it to get the existing out? How rotted are they? And how much ease can they get in without disturbing the soil? But it's really not a, it's not a major undertaking, which is nice.
All right. I'm sorry. Don't talk about yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
All right, going to move on to the new 7.3 public safety, City of Derby, muffler, exhaust, noise. We brought this up because we had some concerns. People were talking, Fred, you heard him talking. I'd like to put this on corporate counsel to research the state statutes that we have for noise and then see what our noise ordinance in the City of Derby is potentially bring something back to the board and see if you want to initiate a stricter ordinance to ease the issue with he's saying with the muffler systems and stuff like that. So I think if we can task corporate counsel.
So, I mean, loud mufflers, that kind of issue has been a problem all over the valley. I think as you get more traffic, you're going to get more noise issues. So the question is there a local legislative initiative that you might be willing to consider? So what I can do, Mayor, is I can take a look at that for the board's pleasure to kind of see what the options would be. Sometimes it's a fit for one community and not another. It depends how you want to approach the problem. But there may be some options you can do through ordinance that could supplement, that could help what you already have available at the state end. You know, so
it's like up to that decision.
You don't have anything on the books right now.
Not as a local ordinance. You have a local noise scheme, but to specifically relate to loud or modified mufflers that are creating those really kind of crazy sounds, there may be something you can do. Of course, it always falls back to enforcement. So my general advice is no matter what scheme you put together, if you can't enforce it, it's just going to sit there. But at least I can maybe give you a couple options to look at. And it's up to you if you're interested in pursuing it. And if not, hey, you have the state, you do have other things to rely on, state law, and you have your noise ordinance. And at that point, you would be a talk with your PD to say, okay, how to better enforce what's already on the books.
Now, doesn't the, when it cracks, I'm guessing it's the crack, right? The piston,
yeah.
When the explosion, right, cracks out. That goes over decibel. Allotment, correct?
The PD will likely tell you, though, in those situations, if we're not around to measure it, how am I going to act on it?
Right.
And that not just applies for mufflers. That could kind of frustratingly apply to everything. You have a guy who's doing work on their motorcycle at 10 o'clock at night in front of their house. You're hearing it. It's obviously, you know, an obscenely loud noise. You call the officer. Officer comes up. The guy runs inside. Without a recording, you know, you really can't do much. Some communities have really cracked down on the mufflers. They have really stringent rules. And if you're driving around like that, they're going to find a way to stop you. Other communities are a little bit more hands-off. They feel maybe, you know, it's not right to be that tough on those issues. So I can show you some examples of different communities that have done different things. It's up to the board as to whether or not it's something you guys would want to pursue.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Any questions on that? You want corporate counsel to bring something? I mean, normally an officer could hear it. If they hear the straight pipes, if they hear the mufflers, they can pull them over, issue the inspection required, the infractions and stuff like that, send them in to DMV to get them straightened out. Do we want to go above and beyond? I mean, whatever the pleasure of the board is.
I mean,
you can
see what it is, but like you said,
wait till we see it. Wait till I understood Attorney Marini to say he was going to draft a few things and bring them back to the board.
Right. If you want to go above and beyond what the state statute has already.
Like exploring what they do in some other communities. So maybe I'll give you some ordinances that exist in some other areas. That way you can, for your information, at the very least, see what ways there might be. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you want, Barb?
Well, I thought that's what he was saying. I mean, that would make sense because some, you know, individuals don't know what the state statute says. They don't know what another ordinance may be. So to see it is helpful.
So we'll have corporate counsel bring something in hopefully next meeting. If not, within the next couple of meetings.
But I guess I have meetings every week. So,
yep. All right. Number 8, unfinished business. Dave, are you on, Fire Marshal? Thought he was going to call in. All right. Fire Marshal offer reorganization. You've had everything. The packet is there?
No,
anything?
Mayor. Mayor, it's Barbara. And I don't know. I guess Dave isn't there. But we received today from Walter the at 413, which I'm assuming came through with conjunction with Dave, but of the discussions we had last month about what the board, you know, the changes that were to be made and encompassed in this ordinance, and I don't believe that it's actually what we discussed last month. I went through it and made the changes that I believe were what we all discussed with Dave. So I don't know if it's easier if we're going to do this on Monday. I mean, I could read it into the record, you know, or it's, you know, it's not a lot. It's more towards the end, or well, I don't have a Word document of it. I have a PDF of it. I could, you know, what I saw was the differences and try to get it done tomorrow so that we have it for Monday. I mean, I'll make a point to get it done.
Maybe the best thing to do is if you have that document and you submit it over to Mayor's office, I could take it. We could have basically the two documents. So there could be a side by side for the board Monday. So you see what that initial version is and what it is with those changes incorporated in. Was it at the last meeting that you go through all the changes? That way we can kind of compare it.
Yeah. Okay. We had a discussion, but what was sent to us today by Walter is not what we discussed. You know, I mean, it's different. Let's put it this way. It's different. So
fortunately,
you know,
yeah, we have that extra lead in time. So
can you guys hear me?
Who's that?
Hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I saw that I was muted by the host, so I unmuted myself. But yes, I am here.
Okay.
Hi, Dave.
So I'm available for any questions.
Just to wrap up our last issue,
yeah.
Barbara, you can send Mayor's office that over the weekend. I'll take a look at that, put it side by side with the other one. Just look back at the meeting to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then you'll have it. So it's going to be Monday night, the meeting.
Yeah.
So you guys are okay with those documents coming in Monday during the day?
That's like, because we were fine. It was just going to be changes.
Yeah.
The changes made if we were good.
Yep. Yeah. So it should be, we should be on course for getting that and making sure we have all changes represented in that Monday night meeting.
You understand that, Dave?
Not really. I think I only have one that I submitted. That's the one that I want to go with. And
all right,
that
well,
is,
let me ask you, Dave. Then.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, Dave. Did you put in the dollar amounts specifically into the ordinance?
I put like a dollar an hourly rate. Yes, I did.
Into the but we discussed that last month about
and I got a pretty much a 50-50 split on how it was people wanted it to be. And
50-50 from who? We had a discussion last month. I'm not arguing.
From this board, some people said that the dollar should be in there. Others said that it should not. So I sent in two drafts. Now, I guess putting it in order. You got one with the hours in it.
We got one today at 4:13.
Yes, with the hours in it.
With the hours in it and some other language that, you know, other language just that probably should not be in it. But.
Can you be more specific on that? That should not be in it?
To kind of make it simple, since we have a little extra time, maybe if you could take a look between today and tomorrow afternoon at the document that's marked in tonight as the latest, right? And confirm whether or not that is your, you know, interpretation is the finalized version. That way we could have clarity from you.
The one that I have in my hand right now should be one that you have in your hands right now is my final.
We don't have anything. We didn't receive anything till 4:30, but not all of us received the email.
Okay. Well,
we get it wrapped up by Monday.
Yeah, we'll take a look and get it wrapped up Monday.
The email I got was only one page, but on the document it said there was three pages. So I don't
know. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I can appreciate that, but with all due respect, you know, this keeps getting bumped month to month. And we're in dire.
The good news is we're on for Monday with the meeting. So either way, we can wrap this up Monday, which is just a couple days, a couple of business days at least. Let's just, I guess, let's just verify you're looking at the same thing they're looking at, right? So maybe tomorrow we'll have a correspondence through your office just to make sure that's good to go. And then Barbara, you can send along what you have. If there's a comparison to be made, we'll just make sure we're all on the same page as to what he's recommending.
Well, because I thought it was not what we discussed last month at the meeting, but I have a PDF version, John. So I don't have a Word document. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time that I've done for 14 years on this board. I don't have it, honestly. But if I had a Word document, I could put it in. So what I'll do is I'll print it out, what was sent. And again, I didn't know. I happened to see it because I was home today for the email, and I printed it out. I'll print it out again, and I'll write on it what I know what it says, what I would propose that it should say, based on conversations with the fire marshal and the rest of the board last month. So, you know, it's not a done deal. It's just, you know, suggestions of which I thought was what our discussion was. But
okay. That's fine. I just cannot overemphasize the need to get both this ordinance and this budget approved, because I did two inspections today at two very large multifamily houses, and I was appalled. There was not I can count the number of working smoke detectors on one hand out of a 20 unit apartment with children in it. I didn't feel safe leaving there. That place has not been inspected since 2018. There were multiple apartments next to each other with not one single working smoke detector in it. And they all had small children. And that was just two out of the four I did today. This is becoming a serious issue, and it cannot be delayed or messed around. We are way behind, and this is a liability. If there was a fire in that building at any time since 2018, I certainly know that I do not want my name associated with it. And I'm sure the city of Derby does not want their name associated with it. But that is a disaster waiting to happen. And there are more. And I've told you that, you know, our new program, you know, we're updating our inspections. We did 25 again last month, but we're finding violations at every single one of them. And I cannot do it alone. So, again, with all due respect, the Board of Aldermen and whoever else is involved, taxation is apprentice or purchasing, and we need to come to an agreement soon, or this is going to be a serious issue.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, it's Barbara. I just want to say this to you, and I said it to you the day I met you out at City Hall, and I introduced myself to you.
Yes, I remember that well.
I'm not here to give you a hard time, believe me. I was a fire commissioner for 4 years. I've lived here all my life. I know what this city is. I know the people who give what to this city. My intention, and always been, is what's in the best interest of what you need to run your office. Let me say this two sentences, and you can think about it till Monday. I don't think you should strap yourself to an hourly rate or a salary in an ordinance for yourself or any other position in your department. That causes a problem. You could say they're going to get a salary. You come once a year to the Board of Aldermen if you need to change that salary, but you should not tie yourself to a dollar number. That's one of the things. And being an attorney, that's being able to interpret it, that's how I see it. I don't want you to be in a position that you're stuck. It may make it better that it's general terms, but we're here to help you. We're not here to injure you.
Again, I got other opinions that, you know, said differently, that we need to have some type of baseline or reference to the salary.
When you present it to the board. I mean, that's when you can have an ordinance that it's approved without a dollar number in it. Monday. Next item is we make a motion to set the salary at this point for this fiscal year. Next year could be different. So, you know, you tie yourself putting it into the ordinance. That's what I'm saying to you. That kind of makes sense.
That's why I wrote two of them. And and again, I just not have an agreement from the entire board of how it should be presented with this all.
It'll be voted on.
All right, so we'll merge it into one and get this done Monday night.
Yeah. You do know. Yeah. So we're going to merge it into one and get it back to you guys on Monday. All right, any other discussion? All right, we're going to move on to new business. Tax refunds, push that off till Monday. Generator donation. Care, sorry. Commissioner.
Put your phone down more, but he didn't. Right?
Let me get the tape up.
Yeah.
So I believe you all have a letter that I sent to be distributed. Just quick history. The Griffin Hospital purchased the old Derby Nursing property several years ago. They've since demolished the building. But prior to them demolishing the building, they graciously allowed the Derby Fire Department and the Ansonia Fire Department, for that matter, to drill at the building. And while there, we noticed there was a very large emergency generator that was used to power the old nursing facility. We approached the hospital and through the help of a certain counsel at the hospital and Mr. Charmel and Mr. Burnett, I believe his name was, of the facilities, they arranged for us for the hospital to donate that to the city, to us, the city of Derby Fire Department. The intent that I always had with that generator is it's a huge generator. It's going to power much more. It's designed to power much more than any one of our firehouses. We're only looking to put generators that are firehouses. So in the time interim, it's just sat in storage. So the first order of business is the aldermen obviously have control over all the properties and vehicles in the city. So I'm asking this board to accept the generator to the city of Derby. And then the second part is we've kind of stumbled into a dealer of used generators. One of our members of the fire department who has a private business of his own was talking to this gentleman who's located in Texas, deals in used equipment. And during the course of their conversation, it was learned that this gentleman also deals in used generators specifically. So our member had some familiarity with it, spoke to him and forwarded his contact to me. And this gentleman is very interested in purchasing this generator from the city of Derby. I don't want to say the amount because if I'm going to ask you to waive it, but in case it's not fair that the number be out. I guess we have to do that executive session when the time comes. But he's looking to give us a more than fair market value for the generator. And those funds, I would ask, once they came, they would be in the city's hands prior to the generator leaving the city, of course. I would ask the tax board to place those funds in a working balance or a special working balance for use in a capital plan. So that we can, one of the components of the fire department capital plan is to set up generator purchases over a number of years. And this money is a seed money for that. So it's a kind of a long story to get to a short question. One, to ask the board, and I know you can't do it tonight, but ask the board to accept the generator. It's a 2003 generator. It could probably power half of East Derby, and it would cost us a ton of money to even wire the thing to use it. So,
not for good reason.
Well, we could be done, but
might not work.
I believe that this is the best route for us to go with it. Most beneficial use of it is it monetary value? And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Any questions?
Good job, Gary.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Approval of the minutes. We'll do that. Yes, sir.
The gentleman earlier said about the fire trucks being out of service. That's not true. Everything's in service in the city of Derby right now.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Minutes, we'll push that off to Monday. 10, adjournment. Ron?
Sorry. Motion to adjourn at 8:39.
Excellent. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Thank you. Everybody have a good night. Drive safe. I think there's construction.